God's word tells us in James chapter 5, talking about prayer specifically, it says, is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. We believe in the power of prayer. Amen? We do. We believe in it. And we have prayed over the years for many things. And we want to take some time today and pray specifically for John Scarple and his family, and inviting them to kind of come and sit on the front row. And I want to invite the board members to come and to lay hands on them. And we're going to pray for them specifically. And if you are a person that you want to just pray and come and lay hands upon them, we would invite you to come as well. As we take time specifically to pray for John and this family as they go into a time of healing, but a time of surgery this Friday, because we believe that the prayer that is offered on behalf of loved ones, of friends, is powerful, because we serve a God who is powerful. We serve a God that is powerful and mighty, and we believe that he is capable of doing so much. And so let's pray together, and we'll anoint John with oil this morning, knowing that God is about to do something amazing this week. Sandy is going to pray first, and then I will pray.
Father God, thank you for John and Whitney. Thank you for Evelyn and Naomi, the Scarple family. Father, as they go into a big week this week, I just pray that you would, your presence would be very, very profound in each of their lives. I pray, Lord, for the surgeon's hand, for all the logistics of the surgery and the recovery, Lord, that you would be in everything. And Lord, that you would comfort John and Whitney, that you would give them just a sense, a very strong sense of your presence in their lives. Help them know that they're supported and loved by their church family. Help us to know what we can do to help and to be that support that they need over the next number of weeks. In Jesus' name.
And Father, we offer to you our friends and are very grateful for an opportunity to lift them in prayer to you. And just knowing, God, that your hand of mercy is heavy. Your grace is sufficient. Your mercies are new every morning. And God, for that, we are so grateful. Lord, as we prayed for John and healing, we also pray for Whitney and the girls, knowing, Lord, that in this time of surgery and recovery, they need your blessings just as much. Because, God, they will do some heavy lifting. They will do some things that will provide care and comfort for John and many other things. And so, God, we pray that the overwhelming sense of worry would be stamped down, that the overwhelming sense of fear would not take root in their lives, because we serve a God who wipes away all fear. We serve a God who wipes away all tears. We serve a God who is faithful and trustworthy. And so, God, will you work? God, we anoint John in the sign of the cross, knowing, Lord, that your hand of mercy goes before him and that you are going to watch over. We trust and we know that you are faithful and that you will be with him and with Whitney and Evelyn and Naomi. God, thank you. Thank you, God. Lord, we also know that there are others in this room right now that or are a part of our extended families or friends that just need also healing, touches from you and grace. And so we pray, Lord, specifically that you would bring healing upon Dwayne and his body as he recovers from surgery. We pray for Julie, who hasn't been feeling well. Lord, will you bring healing in her life? We pray for our friend Linda and just ask God that you would be with her and the disease that she's been living with for a long time and bring comfort, Lord. Sometimes our words are insufficient, but Holy Spirit, you intercede and we trust in that. We pray for the continued comfort for our friend Kathy and her body. And God, will you just continue to work and strengthen her? Lord, there are others that I probably am not aware of at the moment. I think of Helen and just her mobility. God, will you be with her? Think of Janice and her health. Lord, you know the difficulties. And you bring healing. God, we're a church body that just needs your hands of mercy upon us. And that is very true today. And we pray these things in the Son, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. And everyone says, amen. Amen. We're going to continue in worship. Worship team, come and join us again. And thank you so much for joining us in prayer this morning. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to see you all here today. Thank you for joining in our prayer time this morning. God works in great ways, does he not? Amen. Amen. We have a QR code that you can scan wherever you are at. It's up on the screen. It's throughout the church. It helps us to know that you're here, but also gives you opportunities for connecting with us in different ways, connecting with our website, connecting with our prayer requests and things like that. So you can utilize that at any time. We have a number of things I just want to communicate with you and let you know about so that you're aware of what's going on. First one is that we are having what is called a warm winter opportunity to receive hats, gloves, things like that that will help kids at Nixon Elementary to stay warm this winter, and especially when they go out for recess. A lot of kids, they forget to bring their stuff, just like we did when we were kids, right? So this is a way to help them out during the winter months. And so if you have hats, gloves, things like that, bring them in. Especially, we're asking you to purchase them and bring them in and then put them in the bin that's out by the cross in the hallway. And we'll take those over to Nixon in the next couple of weeks. We have until October 6th for that. Also want to just remind you that we are talking about our faith promises. Faith promises are above and beyond mission support for the missionaries that we support that are globally and that are done here locally in our community. And what we've been trying to remind you about is that we are just in need of kind of refreshing some of this. And so we want to invite invite you to participate and join us with this. And we're going to receive new commitments for those that have not participated before, or maybe you've participated before and kind of got off track and haven't been a part of supporting our missionaries for the last couple of years. So we're going to start that kind of all over again. And we're going to do it for 7 months. And that will, we're going to actually receive these next week on September 29th. And so if you are interested in helping out, we'll kind of walk you through. We have a card that you can utilize. But the thing that we ask you to be thinking about now is to be praying about how God might encourage you and what the amount might be that you would give above and beyond for our faith promises for this coming year. And so we're going to do that next Sunday, just so that you are aware of all of that. Also, next Sunday is a big Sunday for another reason, and that is because it's a fifth Sunday lunch. And what that means is that we're going to have lunch after the worship service, and we invite you to bring some items to help us out with lunch. So bring something that will serve about eight people or so, and then we'll have lunch after church, and it's just a great time to connect and get to know each other in a relaxed atmosphere, and we invite you to be a part of that. Also, want to just have you mark your calendars for October 12th. That is a Saturday, and we're going to be having an evening of music and fundraising in an effort to help kind of kick off our faith promises, because the fundraising will be specifically given to help support our faith promise giving. We're going to be enjoying music from a locally famed band called the Hubcaps. I don't know if their fame goes beyond this area, but you can't say that because we don't know it's true. But it's going to be an evening of fun from 5 to 7, and we have some information items that are available for you to take home. It's going to be a fun night, and we'll send out more information so that you're aware of what's going on. But we want you to mark your calendars now for October 12th. This week, Hope Kids sent out an email that was kind of detailing some information about their Family Fun event that's coming up at the end of October. And if you have been putting your brain to work to create a fun hole for miniature golf, then if you're thinking about it, and you're considering it, and you haven't talked to Andrea Brown, you need to today so that we can get an idea. She can get an idea of how many holes that we're going to be planning for that night, and their team is going to be planning. So you need to talk with her today. Also, just a reminder, this Wednesday is a... That's a different announcement. Okay, so this is for Hope Kids this coming week. Okay, so we don't have a slide for the Family Fun Night, so that's why it's being talked about in a different way. Hope Kids is this coming Wednesday, and our kids program also includes Grab and Go Meals, which is also going to be happening this Wednesday, so that you guys are fully aware of that. All right, we're going to dismiss kids for Children's Church today. So kids, you are dismissed to meet your leaders in the back, and they will have time for Children's Church today. So today's sermon is titled, Living Without Worry. Chapman University wrote in October 2023, about a year ago, a sample of fears, and they ordered them, and I'm going to give them to you in the order that they gave them to the website, but a sample of fears that keep people up at night. And maybe you can identify with these. Maybe you're going to hear them and say, nope, that one doesn't bother me one bit. And that's fine. But anyways, here's the list. The number one fear that keeps people awake at night is a corrupt government. Economic failure. Nuclear war. I know, these are intense, aren't they? The third one is the U.S. being involved in a third world war. A couple of that get a little bit more personal is a loved one becoming seriously ill or a loved one passing away. Pollution of drinking water. Is that high on anybody's list? It's not usually on mine. Cyber terror. Biological warfare. Or not having money for the future. Now, I realize that you might hear that list and say, yeah, only a couple of those apply to me. Or maybe you hear that list and you're like, yeah, every single one of those, I am concerned about them and I can't sleep at night at all because I am concerned about everything. Anybody completely worried and fearful about it, anything and everything? You hear a creak in the floor at night and it's bad? No? Okay. But a list that might be a little bit more personal. Loneliness or failure, rejection, something bad happening, being judged, inadequacy, uncertainty, change, not the kind that's in your pocket, but change that happens. Kid concerns, spouse concerns, job concerns. Not being able to get everything done. We have all kinds of different things that we're worried about, don't we? We have things that we're wondering about. We have things in our lives that we just kind of and we know that when it comes down to it, we may not want to call it worry. We kind of tamp that down and say, I am concerned about that. Anybody do that? I do. I throw out I'm concerned because I believe that worry is something that we shouldn't necessarily do. There's a command in Scripture, and we're going to go over that in just a little bit, about not to worry. But so we're concerned or nervous. I heard a quote this week that says this, that what we worry about the most often reveals where we trust God the least. How does that hit this morning? When I heard it earlier this week, man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Because the things that I sometimes worry about the most sometimes is the area that I can probably say that's an area that I don't trust God with as much as I should. Matthew 6, 25 through 27 says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your clothes, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can you, or can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Corrie ten Boom says this, that worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Interestingly, when we pull back the layers of Scripture, and we go back to the very beginning in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 and 2 talks about creation and the beginning of all things. And then it's in Genesis chapter 3 where Adam and Eve are in the garden, and the evil one, the tempter, Satan, the devil, comes and asks a question and says, did God really say? did God really say? And then when the answer is given that this should happen and that should happen, what the response to that was is, you will certainly not die, but your eyes will be opened. That's the thing. That's where all the struggles started, and it started with the twisting of the truth and wondering, could Eve really trust God? Could Eve and Adam really trust God with what was going on? And you and I have had to deal with this same question over the course of our lives. Can we, should we, could we really trust God? Is God, in all of his godness, can he be trusted? Is he trustworthy? And I would argue that when we look at the Bible, when we see what is there in Scripture, we can see evidence before us the trustworthy nature of God. Something that will help us to not give into worry. Something that reminds us of who he is, that he is worthy, that he is loving, that he is gracious, that he is merciful, and that when we are feeling threatened and when we are feeling overwhelmed, when we are feeling the struggles of life, we can realize and we can know that he truly is who he says he is, that he is trustworthy. And that is who he is. Psalm 62, verses 7 and 8 says, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Just in case you didn't hear it, let's say this together, because I think it's powerful. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my rock and my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. If you don't have that verse in your Bible underlined, highlighted, and starred with asterisks flowing everywhere, maybe today's the day that you put it in there and you realize that this is a verse that you should hold on to and one that you should memorize. Trust in him at all times, you people. This is a command. Trust in him. Pour out your hearts to him, for he is our refuge. I want to talk about three very simple points that we can hold on to, three simple thoughts, truths, if you want to go that way, and reference when worry hits, when life hits. And the first one is that God has been trustworthy before. It's simple. I know it is. I couldn't get any more creative than that. God has been trustworthy before. Exodus 13. Talks about how the Israelites remember the faithfulness of God. And it's done in a unique way that as they are leaving the Exodus, they take along with them the bones of Joseph because he encouraged them to, because he knew that they would be leaving. God was faithful then and he will be faithful now. He's done it before and he will do it again. And one of the things that they did in this passage is recognizing God's faithfulness. But I want to read to you something in Psalm 105 that says this, and I just want you to listen to it. Psalm 105 says, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell him all of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he has pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you, I will give the land of Canaan and the portion you will inherit. And it continues on from there, and it tells us the story of the Israelites and their exodus. Part of this is because God wants us to recognize that we can remember his trustworthiness over and over and over again. There are numerous psalms in here in the Bible that tell us to remember, remember, and remember. Because we're a forgetful people. We're a forgetful people, and we can remember that God is trustworthy before. He's done it before. He's done it in our past. Just one more passage of scripture that talks to us about understanding and remembering. This passage, Psalm 136, is a phenomenal passage of scripture, but it basically goes through the entire Exodus and the work that God did. And verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders. You get the picture. His love endures forever. You can say it along with me if you want to. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon his waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and the stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. You guys are really, really catching on. But it continues from there. I mean, it takes us from creation and it continues on all through the Exodus. It talks about being the firstborn being struck down in Israel. Israel being pulled out by God's mighty right hand. The Red Sea being divided, and it continues on and on and on. God wants us to remember that he has been trustworthy before. Think about your life. Where has God been trustworthy before? Where has he been trustworthy before? And what did you do to mark that in your life? Do you remember the date? Do you remember the hour? Do you remember the event that was happening where God's trustworthiness was evident and it was real and you could hold on to it? Because they're there. They are there, those moments where God has been trustworthy before. And when you're feeling that overwhelmed sense in your life, you can look back on your life and say, God's done it before. God's been faithful. God's been trustworthy before. And I know that he will be trustworthy again. But it's not in just your life that God has done that. You can look in scripture and you can see where God has been trustworthy before. But something that God commanded the people of Israel to do was found in Joshua chapter 4, verses 19 and following. It says, on the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Now, we define that word fear at the very end of that, and that word has more to do with reverence than it does scared. It has more to do with reverence and awe than anything else, but we utilize the word fear. Did you catch what they did? They took 12 stones out of the Jordan River, and they piled them up on the other side of the Jordan River that they were crossing into, and they set up these 12 stones to remember what God had done. And as the people of Israel were going to go by this set of stones, and if a kid asked, that is a weird set of stones, what is that all about? Then they could answer them, this is what God did. Do you have any 12 stones moments in your life where you need to set up some stones to remember what God has done? Maybe it's not physically building a thing, monument, I guess, if you want to put it that way. But maybe there's some mental building that you can do that are those moments where you said, God did this. God did this. He brought healing in my life. He brought freedom in my life, in this moment. He spoke to me in that moment right there in my history. He was good then. He was trustworthy then. And I know he can do it again. Do you got those moments in your life? Because he was trustworthy before. Second simple point is that God is trustworthy today. Say it with me. God is trustworthy today. Do you ever just think about God's presence with you? One of the three big characteristics that we often utilize to talk about God is not only just his omniscience and his omnipotence, but his omnipresence, that he is with us. And if he is with us, then he is trustworthy now. Numbers 14:9 says this, then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Not only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Catch that. The final phrase, the Lord is with us. They knew, Joshua and Caleb and Moses and Aaron knew that God was with them right then and there. And this passage is a reminder that that God is with us and he is trustworthy. And this passage points to the actions that are going on specifically. God will give it to us. God will do what he has said he is going to do. He is trustworthy at that moment. And God is already saying what has come to pass, and his promises are always fulfilled. And he is with them then, right then and there. He is with and trustworthy today. Now, Jesus is the very embodiment of God, right? And in Matthew chapter 1, 22 to 23, it says this: all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, we don't just believe that God is with us at Christmas time, right? But that's what we always talk about, right? That God is with us and he is the Emmanuel at Christmas time. But let's not just let that be the only time of year that we recognize that God is with us. Let's not let that only time of year be the one that gets all the glory of Emmanuel. We get to experience God with us, the Emmanuel, every single day because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is with you today. He is trustworthy today. Not just then, not just in your past, but he's present with you and he's trustworthy today. How do you see it? How do you know it? How are you experiencing it? Because he is trustworthy today. Finally, the third way, the third simple truth that we can hold on is that God is trustworthy tomorrow. I know, simple truth. But the truth of the matter is that the end of the story is already written. The end of the story is already written. In Numbers 13, 1 through 2, it says this: send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the Israelites. And the land has already been given. Did you see that verb in there? Which I am giving. That land that they were going into was already there. It was for them. It was going to be theirs, but it was almost as if it was done in past tense. The future is coming, but it was already been written. And what do we know about the Israelites? They did some things that they probably shouldn't have. They still didn't trust in what God was doing. The story had already been written. God had already said, this is your land. But what did they do to Joshua and Caleb? Didn't believe that they could take the land. They looked at the size of the land and got scared. They looked at the size of the people and got scared. They looked at the gifts that God was going to give them and were like, there's no way that we can do this. And so they backed off, and those folks didn't get into the land. Don't we do the same thing sometimes? We know that God has already said and that God's faithfulness will go with us to tomorrow, but we back off and hold back. We can trust that what God said yesterday, today, will take place tomorrow. We can look back and we know that God is trustworthy, and we can know that he is trustworthy for tomorrow. But the many times what we end up saying is, what if? What if that thing happens that we don't want to happen? What if that thing that is so hard happens? And we live in the what if instead of living in the promise of what God is going to do. Revelation 21, 3 through 5 says this: and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." If God can write that and remind us that what he's already written is trustworthy and true, we can trust in knowing that it will come to pass. And this is what God says about himself in Isaiah 46:4. "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you." We can trust him tomorrow, because he is who he says he is. He will sustain. He will carry. He will rescue. Jesus says in John 14:1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." I want to end with this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You can read it with me. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." This is one of those verses that if you don't know it, I encourage you to know it. Encourage you to write it down. Encourage you to memorize it. Encourage you to meditate on it. Pray it. Know it. This passage begins with trust. Very first word out of these verses is trust. Not just any old trust, but trust the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. And then it challenges you to not do your typical, to not do what you normally do, to not do what comes naturally to you. And that is taking matters into your own hands. To not do what you think you should do. And it challenges you to think, to not think about what your next step is. But it continues with you to be willing to submit, not just your heart, not just your understanding, but all your ways. So it begins with trust, and it encourages you not to do what you normally do. Then it asks you to submit, not just the thought for the moment, not just the struggle at the present time, not just the path that you're uncertain of, but it says, submit all your ways. That is everything who you are. And it continues by asking you to know that God is trustworthy, submitting all of who you are. Because he is trustworthy, because he is worthy, because we can trust in him. And then it finishes that he will make your path straight. How many times have we tried to do things on our own, and the distance between two points ends up being 17 miles over here doing this and that and all this other stuff, instead of knowing that the shortest distance between two points is a straight path? With God, The shortest distance between two points is a straight path when we submit to him. It might not be the path that we wanted. It might not be the way in which we thought it was all going to come together. It might not be the way that we imagined that it would all fall into place, but it is the shortest distance according to his way and his will. The question always is, will we trust him with all of who we are? With everything from every fiber, every bone, every hair of our body, will we trust him completely and not lean on ourselves? Why? Because he is the trustworthy one. He is the one who makes our paths straight. No matter how good we might be at orchestrating our life, we are not as good as him. We might be pretty good. We pale in comparison to what he has for us. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. Three simple ways that we can know and face worry is by knowing that God was trustworthy in the past, that God is trustworthy today, and he'll be trustworthy tomorrow. Sometimes we need a simple truth that just reminds us of who God is, that he is trustworthy. Let's pray. Father, what a joy it is to have your word before us, your reminders of your grace. Lord, even in the simple moments, we can realize that sometimes we just need those simple things to speak to us. Those simple truths that will kind of block out all that we think we know, all that we think we might have gained over the course of our lives, but that we can hold on to because really, Lord, it's memorable. It's easy for us to hear the words of God is trustworthy before and nod our head at it and say, yeah, that's true. But God, I pray that we would not just think about it, but that we would really hold on to it. That we can look at many different aspects of life and say there is truth to that. And God, will you just speak to us? Will you just remind us? Will you also just make your presence known to us today? Today? So that we can feel your presence. And God, when we face the uncertainty of tomorrow, will you just speak to us the words of truth that remind us that you are faithful tomorrow, that the story of your victory, of your glory, has already been won. It's already been written. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word that speaks so powerfully to us, that you are a God of faithfulness and mercy and trust. We're grateful for that, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. Just a reminder for you to, if you haven't talked to Andrea yet today about the golfing thing, take care of that. And that this Wednesday is a big night for Hope Kids Youth Group and Grab and Go Meals. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's stand and let's worship together.